This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now is Sue Balcom. And instead of normally, as we talk in the Bismarck studio, I actually have the pleasure of seeing her delightful face. She comes to us once a week to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I have the perfect face for radio.
They let you off the farm, huh?
They let me off the farm, although okay. I'm just all the way to Fargo, I'm thinking to myself, I could be weeding. I could be weeding. I could be weeding.
Classic gardener.
I know, right? Yeah. Dig it in the dirt. I watered well and everything because I hate the heat. Okay.
Get out.
Hate when it's this hot out. So you got to work in the mornings like at 5 a.m.
That is nice. Yeah, I like that. It's quiet.
Perfect time of day. Yeah. The birds are out there singing. Yeah. And then everybody retires about 10 o'clock, and then the wind comes up, and then it's typical North Dakota
weather.
Then you
weather. Take a nap.
Yeah,
totally. We need to get a siesta culture going around
we
here.
We do. That and then only working 3 days a week and taking four right? off. I mean.
Sue Balcom for president. Come on.
All right. Yay. And good food on everybody's table.
Yay.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's talk about growing in the garden because there are some simple things that we can do to make it either easier to grow good food in the garden or make the food a little tastier in some cases with what we call companion planting. So set us up with a definition.
Companion. Well, good plants make good neighbors. That's just kind of how that goes. And it drives me crazy because, you know, these old Germans used to plant their gardens in just like Army Street rows.
Just like Mother Nature.
Right. And then they had to have like 2 feet between everything so that you could get in there with some kind of like mechanical equipment rather than get down on your hands and knees like I do and become one with the earth while I'm weeding. But companion planting is something that I have a friend that never goes anywhere without her list of companion plants. Now, I've never bought into that to the extent that she does, but there are some things that you don't want to plant next to each other because they do hinder the growth mm-hmm. of a plant. And then there's other things that really actually encourage a plant to be better. But one of the biggest reasons I plant in serendipitous sort of rows is because insects are easily confused by companion planting and plant diversity. You know, so rather than having a field of straight rows of the same kind of crop. They love it. Well, they can find it. Like they're flying overhead and they're like, oh, look, you see that dark green strip of spinach down there? Yum! And there they go. And there it's gone. I've already seen flea beetles around on my broccoli plants that I've had to spray. But I did do something different with those this year. I planted cabbage and then I planted 2 rows of onions and then I planted my Brussels sprouts and broccoli and then another 2 rows of onions because the smell of onions deters some of the pests that attack the cabbage plant. So there are some great.
So that's a good example of two things to plant together.
And there are, actually, I would recommend this book, Carrots Love Tomatoes.
Hmm.
This is like a super cool book. It has additional information that we can talk about at a later date, but I'll tell you that there are some plants that grow well with each other. You know, like it says that lettuces are good with cucumbers and carrots. What I did this year was I decided to start my garden a little earlier in the high tunnel. And so I plant peas. Peas are nitrogen fixers so that you will have more nitrogen in your soil after a pea crop. Then they'll be out of the way by the time the cucumbers that are planted just 4 or 5 inches away from them will be climbing up the same fence. So we'll leave the peas, we'll just cut them off at the base and leave the roots in the ground and the cucumbers can grow up in their place. So there's that to take into consideration when you're companion planting. So it's not just for diseases and for pests, but it can also be beneficial to have a succession garden, meaning that you can start early in the spring and you'll have a different crop every different week to eat. I had to cut my romaine already because it was big and this heat would make it bolt really bad. Yeah. But I learned that if you cut it off at the base, it'll grow again. So I'm going to give that a try this year.
Oh, man.
Be like, awesome.
Yeah.
So now while you can plant cabbages and onions together, you do not want to plant onions and garlic near your peas because they don't produce very well when they're next to onions and garlic. So onions in particular, we have to keep away.
Okay. Well, how about tomatoes? That is a big time favorite. What can we put near them?
What can we put near a tomato? Actually, marigolds. That keeps pests away from the tomato blossoms. And then was it lettuces and lower crops like that? When you have a big crop, tall crop like tomatoes, mm-hmm. you plant carrots underneath them because they like carrots.
And carrots grow down.
Right. And so then they're kind of shaded by your tomato plants also. If you prepare your fences the right direction, and then you have a cool weather crop that's benefiting from a warm weather crop at the same time. And carrots, of course, your tomatoes are done a long, long time before you ever dig your carrots up.
Sure.
And then, of course, broccoli, carrots don't mind garlic, and they don't mind onions either. Sometimes when you're thinking about companion planting, you want to think about what foods go good together on a plate.
Oh, yeah. Tomato and basil.
Tomatoes and basil, absolutely.
And then I can plant some mozzarella. And no,
I wish you could plant some. I wish I could plant a cow or two, maybe. I could get some milk. Milk is good, but the cream, yeah, that's what you really want.
Yeah.
So. And, of course, there's different kinds of herbs that you can – other herbs besides basil, things like borage and stuff like that. Mm. Those are to – you know, I always interplant herbs with my other rows of garden stuff because then that way they attract the pollinators, So you always need to make sure that your tomatoes are being pollinated and your cucumbers in particular. If you're not getting cucumbers – you have to go in there like my grandmother did and shake the bushes, like to get a little pollen in the air so that they can pollinate. Your first blooms are male.
Okay.
And then your second blossoms will be the females and they'll produce the fruit. But they have to cross-pollinate. So you're looking at cucumbers and you're thinking to yourself, I have 1,000 blooms out there and not a single cucumber in the place. Well, that's because those won't produce until the female plants come out, and then they can kind of, nature is bizarre.
Is there a way to do succession planting with cucumbers so that you get the males and females at the same time?
They're kind of a...
I don't know a lot about plant breeding, but generally, you want males and females involved at the same time.
And I don't know why the males come first. All the males in my family are always 2 feet behind me when we're walking anywhere. So
you're a busy lady.
But cucumbers, they're not an iffy plant. They're, they don't like to be transplanted, and they are very particular about. I know people who actually use electric toothbrushes to go around and pollinate their cucumbers to be absolutely certain that they meld together. Mm. But yeah, the shaking thing works. I've never had a problem with cucumbers. And the only thing that I know that attacks them, of course, is downy or mildew, like the fungus that grows on the leaves and turns them all white. Downy mildew, something like that.
That's a good question for Ron Smith.
Yeah, but I found out that the horsetail that grows in my garden makes a spray that you can use to spray your cucumber plants. And that will take care of that blighty looking stuff.
Okay.
They still grow, but they don't look as nice. And, everything has to have leaves on it so that it can photosynthesize.
How about squash?
What goes good with squash? Lamb's quarter. That's really weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weed.
Yeah. Is that the same thing as wild spinach? Is that lamb's quarter?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
And it grows everywhere in North Dakota. It's really easy to pull out of the ground. But I've just recently learned that that actually is a very beneficial plant to have as ground cover. So I plant my pumpkins, I plant my squash, and then instead of weeding that bare space, it's like this time of year, you're looking at your garden, you're thinking, look at all that bare ground out there. Should I put some more plants in or shouldn't I? And then by the end of the summer, the vines have taken over the whole garden. But I'm going to leave that. I am not going to weed that out of there. I'm going to leave that lamb's quarter in there because of course, you put compost in, then sometimes it's not been composted properly. That's what you'll get from it.
Okay. When you say leave it in there, though, you can still be eating it, right? You just want to be leaving the roots
as
in there.
As long as you don't spray your garden with stuff, you certainly can eat it. But, and if it bothers you, like the some of the gardeners I know are so meticulous about weeding, don't remove it from the garden. Pull it out of the ground and lay it on the ground and let it decompose, because then that will add green manure back into your soil again. And eventually I would like to avoid having to shovel you know what into my garden so I can just like grow green manure, and then we can harrow that in the fall. And
what does harrowing in mean? Well,
we don't till our garden, our large garden, with a tiller, because a rotary tiller will cause a hard pan down about 6 inches where the tiller actually hits the ground becomes really hard, and then your plants don't penetrate that eventually. I don't know how many years it takes, but we instead we use a harrow, which is like fingers, iron fingers on the bottom of our little walk behind tractor that actually just stir the top 4 or 5 inches of soil up, and then we plant in that every year. So it's less destructive to the microorganisms and all those little technical things that I don't know what they're called, but I know they're down there.
I know there's lots of living things
in
good, healthy soil.
So,
okay, so lamb's quarters, and we already mentioned corn goes good with squash.
Well, right, because I was just going to say that the Three Sisters planting that the Mandan Indians used to do, and I come from Mandan Indian country, and it's really cool because besides being nutritionally sound, beans and squash and corn provide all the nutrients you need to be healthy, they also like each other. So you've got corn, you've got your beans vining up the corn that makes them grow straighter when they hang down to the ground. Then you've got your squash around there as ground cover. Ground needs to be covered. Your ground should always have something growing in it, because that's healthy soil. The soil likes to be covered. Mother Nature sees a bare patch. She's just like I am. She's like, let's get something growing over there. We don't care what it is as long as that ground is covered. Now, if you ever come across a patch of ground that has absolutely nothing growing in it, I wouldn't try to garden there, because that means there's totally nothing good underneath the ground there. So,
is there a good test kit out there to determine the health of your soil?
You could get soil samples to see if there's things that are missing in your soil.
Okay.
You know, like if your cabbage doesn't head out, it probably needs lime or phosphorus.
Okay.
To balance the alkaline and the acidity of the soil. But other than that, you can tell your soil is healthy when you can't kneel in it without burying yourself up to your thigh. I mean, that is like, that's good ground there, boy. And so you want to be able to, and there's different soil types, so it would depend on your soil type too. But if you're digging in the ground and you can dig up, you know, 6 or 12 earthworms in a square foot of your garden, you know you're doing something right.
How about beans?
Beans. Are we talking green beans or?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, because I grow some dry beans too. They like sunflower, you know, something to climb. They like to climb. Now, I know there's bush varieties too, but they like cucumbers. And I don't know if the crops like each other because of their colors. I never thought of that. I bet that would be an interesting thing to think about. But yeah, you can plant your beans next to corn. Beans are pretty, they're nitrogen fixers like peas are. So if you're talking about, you know, planting them and then what you're going to plant next year, you know, you've got soybeans over here and corn over here in a lot of fields. And then they switch those two crops around because corn likes a lot of nitrogen, so you could plant corn and beans next to each other, which is probably one of the things that the natives did without even knowing it. You know, some of this stuff you just come by accidentally, so.
Or by paying attention to what nature is doing.
I know, and that's what I tell people too. Like, my husband's like, you've got to make straighter rows. You've got to, you know, use the stake thing. And I'm like, God didn't do that.
The same way.
God didn't do that. I mean, look at that. And look at the colors he puts together. That's like super cool. And once again, borage. I don't know if you've ever grown borage?
Yeah.
Borage is a cucumber. from the cucumber family, and it's
that
just,
would explain why its leaves taste like cucumbers.
And I love that stuff, like tea made out of borage leaves, and then the flowers are so gorgeous, and then it spreads on its own. I like things that kind of like propagate on their own.
I like, I like plants that survive with benign neglect.
Yes,
I mean you no specific harm, but I'm definitely going to just sit here and pet my cat instead of fussing with you.
Once again, once again, I am the lazy gardener. You know. So back to the peas and the beans, you know, as nitrogen fixers, you know, so plant those next to potatoes or carrots. Most of the things that are in the same family as cabbages, you know, cabbage, turnip, those
cruciferous.
You know what I'm talking about. And then weirdly enough, I know somebody who grows peanuts, which is actually a legume.
You can grow peanuts here?
Yep. Actually, he lives near Carpio, which is near Minot, and he's grown peanuts here before. But they're actually a legume and not a nut. And so they would be the same thing where they would actually add nitrogen to the soil. We like nitrogen in our soil. And don't forget that if you're going to be doing some companion planting, that you might want to incorporate flowers in there too. Like morning glories and pole beans are really good together.
Okay.
Just don't let them go to seed. Because, like, while they might be reseeding themselves, they might be reseeding themselves excessively if you're not careful about, you know. They become a weed because they're a bindweed relative.
Why would the flowers be good? I mean, I get the marigolds because they can repel bugs, but, what would a marigold do?
Yeah, and they repel deer, too, except that the deer went in around the marigolds and ate my flowers off just last night.
Yeah,
feeling like you little...
Careful, the FCC won't let us say what you want to say.
But you guys all know what I'm thinking. Well, maybe not. There's some people who think Bambi is so stinking cute, and I'm like, not at my house. She's not cute. flowers, you know, I think it's their scent, you know.
Okay. They're attracting the pollinators.
Attracting pollinators and, you know, and then just being beautiful. You know, like, why shouldn't your garden be beautiful? Right?
Yeah.
To me, a messy garden is beautiful. I guess that's a matter of taste then, huh? And trust me when I tell you, I watch for gardens in movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I see these gardens all the time with these straight rows and these great big, huge, perfectly formed heads of cabbage. I'm like, that's not how this looks. I've visited
many
gardens.
That sounds like too much work.
Yeah. Well, and it's just not normal. So
servants to handle that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't get anybody to go into servitude for me. Even if I trade food with them, they won't go into servitude. So
you came in with a couple of handy charts, and I'm wondering where you got these, because we can tell people, you know, until we're blue in the face about companion planting, but
they'll want to see.
You don't want to memorize this
right?
list. Yeah. So what are some good resources?
The Food Gardening Network. So in addition to having this nice colorful chart, they have all kinds of amazing things, including recipes in there. Mother Earth News, of course, is a really good resource for just about anything gardening. Organic Gardening has a website. That's how I got started gardening. I subscribed to something called Organic Gardening back in the early 80s. You know, like
you grew up gardening.
Well, my mom had a garden, you know, so we helped there. And then, of course, whenever I'd rent a place, I would have tomatoes in the flower beds instead of, or pots, you know, that way. So I always had something growing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had kids and decided not to work anymore, that's when I started really researching, like, the things that we did. And every year it's different. So if you plant something and it doesn't do well for you, then this is why it's critical to keep a diary, too. Like, whether you're companion planting or rotating your crops, all that stuff is really key to keeping a diary. So I've got dates in there when I plant, what I got out of the deal harvesting. And then if something's just not working, then you have to just kind of move it around, you know?
Yeah. The difference between science and messing around is writing stuff down,
like
right?
Messing around. Yeah, there you go.
Now you're doing science, Sue.
Yeah, I should have paid more attention when I went to high school to things like math and science, because it would have probably come in like really handy.
Yeah, that happens. Sue Balcom joins us from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, once a week to talk about food. Sue, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.